begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the keynote, all inviting you to...
Thank you. And to start our new series of type, we are bringing you something brand new. A series of human dramas laid out against one of the world's most exciting backgrounds. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Tales of London Airport.
The time is 3 weeks ago. The scene, VIP lounge of London Airport departure bay. A porter enters, pushing a trolley of brand new luggage. Following closely behind is a portly gentleman in dark glasses and stereophonic tweeds. He addresses the porter anxiously.
Heaven's sake, man, be careful with that trout marked personal baggage.
Why?
It's got my wife inside.
Hey, what's she doing in there, Mr.
Edwards? Matter of fact, she's standing on her head.
Why?
Because you've got the trunk upside down.
Oh.
Well, can't you stand there gawping and saying, oh?
Huh?
That's my bride.
Huh?
You've only been married 3 hours.
Oh.
Kick the trunk the right way up.
Oh, right.
Oh, the poor sweetheart. You all right in there, locked? Well, no, darling. Of course it's not always going to be like this. I just don't want those newspaper men to know that we've just got married, sweetheart. If they find out, our honeymoon will be ruined. Yeah. Well, no, I know it's not what you expected. It's only for a few more minutes. As soon as we're airborne, I'll give you the office and you can let yourself out. Yes, but it's not my fault, darling. You were the one who packed the plums in there. Yes. Well, let me get a word in edgeways, for goodness sake. I'll have your costume cleaned as soon as we get to Paris.
Oh, I don't know. I never had all this trouble with horses, you know.
Now, porter.
Yes,
take this cat and remember it is essential that I am not recognized whilst I'm here on the airport.
Is there anybody in this lounge who is in any way connected with entertainment?
No, sir. Only other person here is that Dick Bentley.
Bentley? Yes. Oh, no. Pick him in the dark glasses,
he's coming.
No. No use turning your coat collar up. I recognize you immediately. King Farouk, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
Don't be such a jeffy, Bentley. Jimmy Edwards.
Well, I'll be... Yay. What on earth are you doing here?
Well, if you must know, Bentley, I'm trying to slip out of the country quietly and without any fuss.
Oh, I quite understand. I saw that television series of yours. Yes.
I think the RPT...
It has nothing to do with my television series. And while we're about this, Bentley, what are you doing here?
Me? Oh, playing my usual role, Jim. Sitting viewing humanity's passing pageant with the ironic eye of the detached observer.
In other words, you're out of work.
Yes. But with a terrific project brewing, Jim, I'm collecting material for a series of stories called Tales of London Airport. Great, huh?
It certainly does, yes. Look, Bentley, wouldn't you find more exciting material in some other part of the airport?
No, they turned me out of there.
I am not referring to the air hostess's locker room.
Jim, to a keen storyteller, there is romance everywhere.
Oh, look,
I'll prove it to you. See that big trunk standing just by the doorway? Well, you won't believe it, but the lid just opened, and a girl's head popped up.
What?
She took three great mouthfuls of air and went back in the trunk again.
Bentley, you imagined it.
Jim, I saw the girl as plainly as I... She was a blonde, wearing a little white hat decorated with squashed plums.
Oh, no, you dreamt it. It's up the atmosphere, you know. You need a breath of good fresh air. Why don't you go outside and tuck your head up the jet of a comet? I'll get the pilot to switch on.
Now, look, no good pushing me towards the door. We have the makings here of a really intriguing mystery story. A brand new wardrobe trunk with a beautiful woman inside. What's the bottom of it?
Three pairs of socks and a euphonium.
I mean, who is this woman?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. The initials on the trunk are J.E. Now, who do we know with the initials J.E.?
Let me think. J-E-J-E.
George Elbert.
No. Julius Caesar.
No. Wait a minute.
Jasper Entwistle.
Do you know somebody called Jasper Entwistle?
No, but it's a common enough name. I wonder...
Attention passengers on parasite DE-233. We are now ready to take off.
You hear that, Jim? That means I've only got about 2 minutes to solve this mystery. There's only one thing for it. Mother.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me to whom that trunk is the property of?
Oh, yes, sir. That's Mr. Jimmy Edwards.
Oh, you blundering idiot. Oh, you clod. Oh. You B.E.A. blabbermouth.
Didn't I pay you to keep quiet?
Yes. But for something like me, you can't expect lifelong silence.
Jim, you. But what on earth are you doing with a lady in your luggage?
Oh, thank you.
Yes?
This is a line that we've never descended to in 11 years of taking them here, but that is no lady, that's my wife.
Just a minute, you're...
Yes, yes, wife.
Jim, I've come over funny.
It's the first time that's happened in 11 years, too, I must say.
You married? Have you got that handkerchief?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Oh, well, I'll have to think of something else for a wedding present. But why do you shove her in a trunk? Jim. Jim, isn't it? Don't you like her? Jim?
Of course I do. So far. It's difficult to explain to a man like you why I've got her in this trunk.
I don't.
I'm a bit worried about it myself. She's in there because, well, is it likely it's the press? It's the press boys. Something as easy. They find out, and we wanted it quiet.
Oh, of course, I get it. Let me have a word with the bride. Mrs. Edwards. Mrs. Edwards.
Hey, lost at you now. This is Bentley. He's in the know, I just think, from what we're in.
I just want to say, I hope you'll be very happy. Oh, she sounds shocked.
Will passengers for Paris flight DE-233 please form plane now?
Jim, this is the crucial moment. I'm going to help you. Go and get that porter back with the trolley. I'll see nobody disturbs your good name.
Oh, that girl, Bentley. Porter, Porter. Yes, sir. I want you over here, please.
Again.
Never mind the lovable cockney humor. You come back to me to the VIP lounge and get my trunk onto that plane.
Oh, well, I'm really only supposed to carry baggage to the VIP lounge. Just give me a moment to hang my tortoise cap over this little notice.
Well, what's the notice say?
No gratuities to airport staff.
Here we go, there's your trunk, sir.
He's
keeping cave in. Let me give you a hand. Right. Lifting it on the ground. Sorry. There we are. Darling, we got away with it. Just a little while longer, and then it's hey ho for gay Paris. Can you stand it in there just for another 10 minutes?
I can stand it as long as it lasts.
Bentley, come out of there! Stop the plane! Get a counter!
Romance has ended in tragedy.
What do you mean?
They're going to get married.
Married?
Oh, there's a lot of it about now, you know. The time of the year, it's the weather, the change of the temperature.
Yeah. You finally give your consent, hey, after all this time.
Yeah.
She's been going out with Ron now for what?
That's what I wonder. Whatever it is, I doubt whether he's got it. And I'm prejudiced in his favour, you know. Still, she wants him, and I decided to let her have him. They're going to celebrate their Neptunes on the 16th of March next.
Yeah.
And I hope they're very happy.
Yeah. Well, now look, what did you pick that particular day?
The 16th of March.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I didn't think it was Robert Pritchard. He read that night there's a play being repeated on the telly what he's already seen. So he won't miss nothing, you see.
Oh, you know, I can't get over it. They got a place to live.
Don't bring that question up again.
Why not?
The upset that little problem has brought about. It come to an head when it was in. It must have been last Tuesday evening it come to an head. There the two were on the sofa, just full of themselves. I shall make
make no comment on that.
Thank you, Dad.
I was going to say that Mrs. Graham and I, when we were young and what you two are, we started with bare board. Bread and cheese and kisses. Bit by bit and little by little, as our means allowed, collected things together till, slowly over the years, we arrived at the squalor we live in today.
Mr. Glover, I am not paying 4 guineas a week for a room with one narrow camp bed and that flat.
Well, if it is flat, it's only because the legs give away again. With a sticky tape, and that bed will be as firm as a rock. As long as you lay still all night. You're very good at that, aren't you?
Thank you, Dad.
Yes, be reasonable. You don't expect me. Do you want me? You expect me to go out and buy a double divine? Put a foot down, huh? Pull up. Another one along in a minute.
set her in there singing. Go on, Ed, push up.
I'll take over the propulsion. Ron. Ron. Wake up.
Hey.
Oh.
Ah, Dad.
Oh.
Get out of the bed.
Oh, I'm so sleepy. Where's he going?
There.
Yes?
Where's the bathroom, Doc?
You're not at home, Ron. You're at Oxford Circus.
Oh, yes. Oh, I forgot.
But help me lift Ed up onto the bed, then, come on. She's heavier than she looks, you know.
Oh, she's like every muscle's locked.
Oh. Caught you that time.
Very glad you think it's funny.
Darling, Ron, get to the back here and push.
Right now. Charlie.
Ron, take your face from behind those bars. Now then, push!
What a journey, eh, Mr.
Well, anyway, so far, Ted, it had been what you might call straightforward, if you use that sort of word, but it was henceforth that the complications, as you might say, ensued. Glossing over the incident when F suddenly lets out a scream and sings out, there's a man under the bed.
A man under the bed?
Well, it turned out we stopped over a manhole, you see. And a sewage worker chooses that crucial moment to emerge.
What did he do?
Well, but he was so startled, he just released his hold and there was an horrible pause. And then we heard a far-off splash. But the biggest disaster came about 4:20 a.m.
What was that?
Fog. Half a crown. Ron and F will start their marriage on the Kemp bed, built for one.
while the photo of Lord Roberts gazes down.